I would like to greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcoming also all those, especially who have come from far. May the Lord bless all, may He be with all who are joining us online. There are many worldwide connected, more than we are gathered here at this place. And we are confident that the faithful Lord will also bless us today richly. For the start, I would like to give you some greetings. I made a small trip to South America, and the Lord has given much grace. He has opened the hearts and the understanding for the Scripture, and the brethren are sending greetings, especially the ministering brethren. We are all joined together in the love of Christ. And the wonderful grace which we have to live in this technical time, so that you are able to listen to the services live, this is something special. And that's how it became possible that the bride is coming into lockstep again, so that all can obey what the Spirit says unto the churches. And so we are wonderfully prepared for the coming of the Lord. Now, be greeted, all of you. Be welcome in Jesus' name. Now, we want to sing a couple of songs, and the Lord will bless us. We start with song number 16. Number 16, Whiter Than the Snow. Number 16, of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by His stripes we are healed. Though I've wandered far from His fold, bringing to my heart pain and wound, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Water cannot wash them away. Jesus, through that fountain of thine, leading my promise I go. Cleanse me by thy washing divine, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than the snow, whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than the snow. Whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing number 27. Is it true that Jesus died for me? Number 27, At the Cross.
Savior bleed, did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thy body slain, sweet Jesus thine, and bathed in its own blood. With all exposed to wrath divine, the glorious suffering stood. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, the grace of God. The finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters, we cannot praise him enough. And time and again remembering what the Lord has done for us. By his grace, we can be gathered at this place, being under the sound of his holy word. And we are confident that the Lord also today will speak to our hearts. I would like to read for the word of introduction before Brother Alfred Borg comes to pray with us. I would like to read a word very often read to us from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is about the return of Christ. And here the apostle speaks from verse 9. For the connection's sake, I would like to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But now comes a happy part. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Brothers, sisters, what a confidence that what the men of God have received from the Lord, this they proclaimed, they passed on. And Paul was so certain. He said, if somebody comes and says something else that was I taught you, let him be cursed, because he received it from the Lord as a revelation. And so we have this testimony of the truth in the Holy Scripture. And therefore it's so important, because they received not the love of the truth. Brothers, sisters, this word has to become one with us. We must absorb it. It must be anchored into us. It must be written into our hearts. And we must watch over it so that no one can rob it. You know, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. And the seed, which has not fallen deep into the ground, this he robs. And then it's gone. But the seed which falls onto good ground falls deep into the ground, and no bird can rob it. And therefore it's important that our hearts are open so that the word can penetrate and that it can grow and bring forth fruit. Also tonight, may the Lord bless us richly, is my prayer. Let us stand up. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight. And we heard already a wonderful word. We thank you that you have given us the grace to receive the love of the truth. You anchored it into our hearts. And we heard the truth. And the truth has set us free from all error. We thank you tonight. And we ask you together, come into our midst. As you promised it, work by your Holy Spirit, by your word, and bless young and old. Lord, you know what we have need of tonight. We need that you revive us anew, the whole church, all your people worldwide. Lord, come to your right tonight. Lead and guide our brother by your Spirit to say what you want to say. And give us the grace and give us hearts which are open, which believe and hear and trust you. Lord, we believe that you will make everything well tonight. We lay this service before you. Cover us all with your blood. Forgive everything, whatever is in your way, so that you can come with your Holy Spirit and can work amongst us. Please grant all this. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing, Only Believe, Only Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible, for Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. For Jesus is here.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Also, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious and holy name of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here today. From the north, up to the south, and to the west, from Finland, from Sweden, even from Romania, from Ireland, from all over Europe, Austria, Switzerland, from everywhere. Brothers and sisters, we are so grateful that we can come together in such a way to hear God's precious and holy word in the original. No interpretations, no explanations, but as it was revealed freshly from the throne to the prophets and apostles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As it is written, holy men spake, driven by God, driven by the Holy Spirit. We are just so grateful that God has led it in such a way that we may believe as the Scripture says. Now just briefly, just the greetings from half of the world. But also today we have brethren in our midst for the first time from Mali. Where else? Please stand up. Who is here today for the first time in our midst? Today we have a diplomat in our midst. Today we have some in our midst. Some in our midst. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord bless all. Even a young man who at the conversation said on Friday, he said, I'm a Catholic. But we believe the Lord can change all. One brother from the Islam. Yes, we could testify. Just before, Brother Michael gave me a testimony of that, what God is doing at the Persian Gulf, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, in Pakistan. And just think of it, the man from the government who welcomed us at the last time, this man belonged to the 19 who were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is just leading it in a wonderful way. Not of a man of a high position. All of us, we can submit under the mighty hand of God and giving Him the glory. And one just has to say to the people always, God has a plan of salvation, and according to this plan, He leads everything through it. He executes everything. And we, by grace, may have part in it. One good news, as our brother Michael told us, a man from the USA, who is in the oil company in the Persian Gulf. With him, not the oil is only flowing, but with him the money is also flowing. And he was so touched, and he said, I am ready to finance a TV station so that the word can be proclaimed here and everywhere. Brothers and sisters, God is really taking care that all nations, all tongues, and all peoples can hear the final message, the final call, that they can be called out. Some are complaining that we don't consider the emails properly. But let me just say briefly, Brother Schmidt has a Russian email here. Just look at it. And then, again, a Russian email. Please look it up. And here, our beloved brother Hans-Peter Scherer from Switzerland, he sends us greetings. And one brother, Marcius Lucius, is also sending us greetings. One brother from Goma is sending us greetings. One brother from Bagaluva is also sending greetings. Then a brother from Pretoria is sending greetings. And the other brothers, one brother, Victor, is sending greetings. Another brother, Odolo, is also sending greetings. Then a brother, Grazian, from Israel, is sending greetings. Then brother Norman is sending us greetings. Then our brother Bruce Clute from the university in Cape Town is sending greetings. And Sebastian is also sending greetings. And here we have Emilio is also sending greetings. And a brother Nungo Wayo is sending greetings. And one brother, he's sending twice greetings. Then we have our brother Ilunga from North America. Then our brother from Pretoria is sending heartfelt greetings. Then a brother from Denver is sending greetings. And brother Donati is sending greetings. Then brother Gerlando is sending greetings. Brother Yapi is sending greetings. Brother Lupondo is sending greetings. Then brother Leonard. Brother Paul Nyagi. Brother Mozambikia is sending greetings. Brother Gubadi is sending greetings. Brother Caleb is sending greetings. And Brother Anthony is sending greetings. Brother Dr. Chovava is sending greetings. Brother Michailov is sending greetings from Bulgaria. And Brother Frederico is sending greetings. Brother John from Bucharest is sending greetings. Brother Boniel is sending greetings. Brother Deo is sending greetings. One brother from Abidjan is sending greetings. And one brother, Santos, is sending greetings. Brother Dudula is sending greetings. Brethren from Angola, from Luanda, are sending greetings. Then we have the last ones here. Here's one brother who greets us. He greets the whole church. I just tried to pronounce his, to see his name. Brother Nyanyeva Jose is sending greetings. Then greetings from Germany. Then greetings from Brother Taba Maka from South Africa. And Brother Schmidt has given me the greetings from Bashkirien. And then, once again, the greetings from Tartakistan. And now we are almost through with the greetings. Brother Dr. Mbie is sending special greetings. Brother Mwamba is sending greetings. Brother Wagner from Austria is sending greetings. Brother Münch from Austria. Brother Jürgen from Santiago is sending greetings. Brother Müller from Germany is sending greetings. Brother Jacques, Ivory Coast. Once again, Brother Deo from Kigali. And Brother Lotika from Australia is sending greetings. Brother Lang is sending greetings from Germany. Brother Draser, Brother Baumgartner is also sending heartfelt greetings. Brother Solomon from Ireland is sending greetings. Once again, Brother Lupendo, Brother Cecil Pretoria, Brother Ellis Wendel Edmonton is greeting us with 2 John 16:17. Brother Trabani, Brother Badi Abidjan, Brother Thyssen from Berlin, Brother Ngonga, once again Brother Mbie, Brother Nyagi. Thanks be to the Lord for our brothers who are scattered all over the world to pass on the word. And we are here to give out the spiritual food. The Lord himself said it. And the psalm writer confirmed it. The Lord said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And the psalm writer says, you are preparing me a table in the presence of mine enemies. God prepares us a richly prepared table, and we may feast on the goods of the house of our God. Into politics we will not go in at all. And into that what is happening on the earth, we will not go into it. Everything is on the run. Everything is in a turmoil. And the world is just in a condition as never before. It has reached a point where there are no solutions anymore. Here we have an email about the presidency of Trump. Here we have an email that Trump will make a visit in the Vatican, and the subject is already given. Then, here, Trump wants to visit Vatican, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. We will not go into it. We know the time is here, and the last empire is the Roman Empire. That's how it was in history, and that's how it will be again at the end. And we're just so grateful that we can recognize in what kind of time we have arrived. And I say it honestly, brothers and sisters, when we think about it, what God did since the days of Reformation, we should also think about how many have given their lives so that we have the Word of God in all the languages. God has His people. I just read now the comments about all who had part in the Reformation, or even before the Reformation, who finished their commissions. But something really touched my heart as never before. And this, I will tell you, I will read you so that you know why we have to deal with the subject of the Godhead. We have to proclaim it scripturally. We have to illuminate it scripturally. We all know. There were many arguments before the Reformation and even after the Reformation. But here, it is about a point. Every month, a report is written by the Lutheran Church, and here is written the following. The most well-known process was that against Michael Servet. Perhaps we read two or three lines. This was a Spanish physician who rejected the Trinity, doctrine. And now comes the description that punishments were given, that verdicts were spoken. But at that time, there was the death penalty to all who rejected the Trinity. Here it is written. The three pillars, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these are the pillars of the Christian Church. And then it's written here. I read it to you. The doctrine of the Trinity, of God, from namely Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is one and the same. This is the pillar of the Christian tradition. And whoever doubts it, whoever rejects it, commits a crime which has to be punished with a death penalty. The judgment, whoever denied the Trinity doctrine, the court had to give the death penalty. And then it's written about Michael Servet, who was executed in the city of Geneva, as Jan Hus was executed in Constance. And the one because he rejected the Roman Church, and the other one was killed because he could not bear the Trinity doctrine. And he spoke it out publicly. We are not judging here, but say it yourself. Say it. If God would exist from eternity out of three persons, this is the actual doctrine. This is the so-called Holy Trinity. That's how it is said. The Son is Almighty, Father is Almighty, the Holy Spirit is Almighty. And whoever looks into church history, he knows that before the year 325 was not a single time discussed about it, whether God is one or two or three. And whoever knows church history knows precisely that only in 385, the Holy Ghost was declared to be the third person of the Trinity. But the Roman Church, for the Roman Church, this was the main thing in the Roman Empire. But for us, as the Church of the Living God, the main thing is, the foundation is laid by the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. When I was reading this report, I was really touched in my heart. I was touched. And I'm asking myself today, I don't want to mention the name of this brother, who spoke about, and he said, what do you want? I baptized a couple of thousands in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? God has given his okay to it. And if you really think about it, that even after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 1906, the well-known outpouring in Los Angeles on Azusa Street, and if one thinks about it, that even those who spoke in tongues, those who prophesied, they remained in all the traditions. And even if you look back into church history, all the revivals had their special things. And I can remember it very well. When was it? 1967, I was in Canada, in Saskatchewan, I was preaching in a Mennonite church. And in this Mennonite church, all the sisters were dressed very nicely, correctly, long sleeves, because this fellowship put the emphasis upon the dresses, upon the clothing. And they said, you must be dressed this way and that way. And every fellowship which came up, all established what their main things were. But that, what has become great to us, and for what Brother Branham was sent, to really bring us back to the beginning. Not only bring us back to the clothing, but really bringing us back to the Word of God. And with the Godhead, everything starts. And we are so grateful to God for the Old and for the New Testament. Of the only God, it is written in the Old Testament. It's written more than 5,000 times. And in the New Testament, one God. And this one true God revealed himself to our, for our salvation, as our Father in heaven and in his only begotten Son on the earth and in us by the Holy Spirit. Not three persons, but one God who personally revealed himself to adopt us as sons and daughters, to bring us back into our original position. And we are so grateful to God that it didn't remain with the teaching only, but that what God promised, that we truly may experience, be it the conversion, be it the repentance, that we are really sorry about our lives which we lived, that we lived without God, and that we say, Lord, be merciful to me, sinner, forgive me all my guilt. And then we can read up in the scripture that whoever comes to the Lord, he will not be cast away, but he may come to him. Why did I mention these things? So that we become grateful, becoming grateful that God, at the end of the time of grace, brings the church back to the beginning, that we may believe as the scripture says, and that we may take everything to heart, what he says to the women, what he says to the men, we take to heart. Whatever he has to say to us, that we can say yes to every word of God, and that we make our personal experiences of salvation by his grace, that we truly experience a true conversion to Christ, a turning away from everything else, and a turning toward our beloved Lord and Savior. And then in this connection, this important thought, the word is the seed, and the word is laid into our hearts. And as Brother Miskis said, the seed is not sown on the surface that it can be picked away. No, the seed is planted deeply into our hearts. And therefore, God said, I will write my word into their hearts. In the Old Testament, the word was written on stony tablets. In the New Testament, the word is written into our hearts. And by our hearts, we can believe and we can receive. Please bear with me. That these articles about all these personalities, Calvin, Zwingli, Erasmus, Luther, and who they were, about all them is reported. But when I read this, that the death penalty was threatened to those, and the death penalty was executed on those who rejected the Trinity doctrine. Brothers and sisters, how grateful we can be. Although we can speak still as the only fellowship, we are attacked at that time. We are misunderstood. Also, by the mass media, we are not dealt nicely. But if we would go with all the multitudes, then everything would be fine. But God ordained us to swim against the stream. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you, and I will bless you. You all know why we are coming together. It is still written in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4,
in Vers 10, 5. Mose, Kapitel 4, Vers 10,
verse 10, Deuteronomy 4, verse 10,
insbesondere des Tages,
especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Gather me the people, that they may hear my words. And the thought came to me, the admonition in Hebrews, in chapter 10, here it speaks of the meetings, and it's written here, Hebrews 10, from verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And now comes the verse which I would like to emphasize. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In every meeting, God speaks to us, so that we don't forsake the assembling as the manner of some is. Yes, some, they just come when they like, and they don't come when they don't like. But here it is written, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So much more as ye see the day approaching. Gather me my people, that they may hear my words. Yes, my words, the words of God, that they are laid and written into their hearts, and that their lives are aligned according to the word of God. Now, concerning the timely events, it's written in 2 Peter chapter 2, as we read many times, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and here from verse 16, 2 Peter 1, from verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Already then, the main subject was the return of Jesus Christ. And here we read on. Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do all these brothers remember, all the preachers in the churches, do they don't think about it, that the Son of God was born on this earth and not in heaven? Don't they think about it? What is written in all of Bible prophecy, in all of the Old Testament, what was promised and announced there? Namely, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. That what we read here didn't happen in heaven. It happened on the earth. How often shall we say it at this place? I wished I could express the pain which I feel for all the Pentecostal brothers, for all the world-renowned evangelists. All walked on in the old direction, and they called Brother Branham a heretic because he preached the Godhead scripturally, because he preached the baptism scripturally. In their eyes, he was a heretic. But who is a heretic in the eyes of God? Of course, him. He who teaches the truth is sent by God. For this is how it is written. They shall all be taught by God. I say it once again. When I read this, with a death penalty about those, for them, who rejected the Trinity doctrine. Brothers and sisters, what a grace God has given us. And let us say it once again. In all the mighty revivals, and whoever reads from the Earl Zinzendorf, there were prophecies. There was the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was at work. People became believers. But now, at the end of the time of grace, God wants to bring everything back to the beginning. And God did it by His grace. He has sent His prophet with His commission to bring the message before the return of Christ, which would then be carried into all the world. And this took really place by His grace. Then it continues here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 2 Peter 1, 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Eyewitnesses, ear witnesses of that what took place. And then this man of God comes to the point and writes, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. And this really took place in our time. Not just partly truths, not just a reformation, but a restoration back to God, back to His Word, back to the original foundation which was laid by the apostles and prophets. I don't know whether it overwhelms you also. What kind of grace we received in the sight of God. I believe it was in Zurich when I emphasized of Micah, when the Lord delighteth in mercy. God is really, He's delighting in mercy. We can read it again. God delighteth in mercy in Micah. And whomever God is merciful, to him he is merciful. And on whom he has compassion, on him he has compassion. Here in Micah, chapter 7. Also this scripture, we can read time and again. Micah 7, verse 18, 19, 20. 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Who is a God like unto thee who pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression? And you all know where the word is written. Who has believed our report? This is not written in Isaiah 66, also not in Isaiah 10. This is written in Isaiah 53, in that chapter, which shows the plan of salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross, describing it precisely. A man of pain, a man of sorrow, who took everything upon himself. All our sickness, he laid upon himself. He was despised. And what kind of things are made with him? In Isaiah 53, it's written for the first time, who has believed our report? Not some kind of report, but a preaching of that what our Redeemer did on his way to Golgotha and what he experienced there. When he was made a spectacle, when he took all our sins upon himself and he didn't look like a man anymore. And there on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. No one may bypass it. Because this was the greatest day in the history of mankind, when our God gave the sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord, shedding the blood of the new covenant, making the covenant with us and forgiving us all our sins. Therefore, not just a message, but the divine message of the finished work of redemption, reconciliation with God. And continues here. In the same verse, verse 18, Micah 7. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Already in the Old Testament, he delighteth in mercy. I said it here briefly. I cannot imagine it properly. How our Lord, who is love, he will tell to those who are at his left, he will say, depart from me. I hardly can imagine it. But they didn't want to come to him. They rejected him. And if we reject him, then what comes after it? If we now come to him, then we'll also come to him when he will return to take his own home. May all who have not yet consecrated their lives to the Lord, young and old, there is no way around it. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no way around Him. Come to Him. Consecrate your life to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. And He forgiveth sin, He forgiveth guilt. Then, verse 19 and 20, after this wonderful statement, for God delighteth in mercy. Then, verse 19, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Brothers and sisters, this really took place, and we can sing, You made me free from my sin. We don't believe something. We believe in that what God promised. We believe in what God has done. And as we mentioned already, whether in Matthew 26, Matthew 28, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Please, receive this offer of grace. Accept it. Don't let it bypass you. And today, if we hear His voice, let us not harden our hearts, but let us open our hearts. Perhaps this must be said here in view of the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, only people can partake who experienced the grace of God personally, who truly can say, my sin is forgiven. I am free. I am free. Christ gave me life. I am free. Because in the Lord's Supper, we testify that what took place for us on the cross of Calvary, that it was accepted by us, that we personally were included into this redemption, so that we are part of the church of the new covenant. And also this last verse, in Micah 7, last verse, verse 20, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers, from the days of old. God will have mercy on you and me. We are still living in the time of grace. We are still living in the day of salvation. And today, we will ask for the grace of God to pray for all, in all the churches who are living in the dispersion, who did not yet recognize for what God has sent His servant and prophet in our time, namely to bring us back, to really bring us back to the beginning. Let us receive it from the hand of the living God. Not only to speak of a message, but to hear Him who speaks to us through His Word, so that we can receive His Word with all our heart, believing it, experiencing whatever He promised to us. If we think on Romans chapter 1, and we will come to it, which will take place tonight, namely, we will have the Lord's Supper tonight. Brothers and sisters, God has really given us the grace to believe with all our hearts what is written in the Word of God. And in Romans chapter 1, in verse 5, we read, Romans 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Not only to preach, but to admonish, to let obedience follow the faith. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. Obedience brings the blessing of God, which he promised to us, which we can receive by faith. May the Lord God really give us this faith, the faith which is anchored in the Word, the faith of which our Lord said, whoever believes on me, as the Scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I want to say here, I don't believe that somebody who is hearing this true proclamation, whoever can remain in all the traditions of the traditions which are still believed by the churches of the Reformation. I believe that God has made something new, as written, all things new. He makes all things new. And only when God makes with us a new beginning, and let us say this also, brothers and sisters, let us say it, as our earthly life starts with a birth, and whoever has a birth certificate all know when we are born. So also, that's how our earthly life started. In the same way, our spiritual life starts with a new birth. And therefore, our Lord said very clearly, he said, except a man is born again, otherwise he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And James writes in the first chapter, in verse 18, he writes, born again by the everlasting word of God. Peter also writes it in verse 23, born again by the eternal seed of the word of God. Why do we put so much emphasis upon the word of God? Why? Upon this seed which was laid into us. Only when the seed was sown and only when it has fallen into our hearts, only then the Spirit of God can come upon us and can work the new life in us. Then we have another scripture which we want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. From verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3, from verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Brothers and sisters, today I wanted to bring with me the statement of faith which all the Israelites, those who are going to the Wailing Wall, they really pray there. They have the letter. They have the letter of Deuteronomy chapter 6 there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I brought with me the mezuzah. The same text is in it. This mezuzah is hanging on every doorpost. Whoever goes into a door has just to look on his right, and there he's hanging the mezuzah. In every hotel, in every guest room, in every house. But it's the letter. It's the letter. And brothers and sisters, that God has given us the written word. The written word. He has made unto us the living word by His grace. And we all know. Also, this scripture is touching my heart. I think it's Luke 12, where our Lord said, where our Lord did many wonders, many miracles he did, and nevertheless the people did not believe his testimony. God can do great things, but whoever does not believe, he cannot be helped. All these words, they really touched my heart in the recent days. And I thought, if I just could pass it on like that. Brothers and sisters, get grateful. Get grateful for that what God has done for us. That we could receive and accept everything only by grace. Let us summarize what it's all about. Not just that God has made a new beginning 500 years ago, and especially in our country. Also the 31st of October, it was made a public holiday. All the country will celebrate. All the country will have a public holiday. 500 years of since Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses on the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Yes. Yes. And what good is it for the people? What did it profit them? All the revivals. What did it profit? New denominations, new directions of faith. But at the end of the time of grace, at the end, everything will be made like the beginning was. We are living in the time of the restoration of all that what God has given to the church at the beginning. And we may carry His holy and precious word, just saying to the whole world, this is the day which the Lord has made for us. This is the acceptable time which God made, that we may hear the words which He left to us. Now, in view of the Lord's Supper, there are a couple of scriptures. And the main scripture is, of course, written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let each one examine himself, and afterward let him eat. Not examining others, but let each one examine himself. Let us read it. This precious admonitions from 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Here we read the precious words. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Here the admonition of our Lord, namely, that we are all dividing ourselves into this one bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You all know, our Lord spoke in parables. He even said, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. He spoke all his words in parables. And here the apostle lines out, the cup of blessing. The cup is already blessed. Just think of Abraham. Think of Melchizedek. The king of Salem took bread and wine and came to Abraham. He celebrated with him the Lord's Supper after the victory over all the kings which were attacking Israel. Also we, brothers and sisters, we will celebrate the victory of our Lord when He will return and when He will take us home into the marriage supper. Then we will celebrate the victory of Golgotha as the blood-bought flock, as the Spirit-baptized flock, as people who were counted worthy to be sons and daughters of God. While I mention this, I remember this new Luther Bible. There is not no more written. There are many verses were changed. There's not written, don't put the light under the bucket, but put it under.
Yeah.
Yes, they really changed many verses. They made an addition after their own discretion, after their own imaginations. Who can understand it? Where is the respect before God and His Word? And here we see and we hear it. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many, not a wafer according to the Sun God, which is then transformed into the body of Christ. No, and again, no. No, as written here, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. As it is happening with the wheat, who is harvested, and out of this is made flour, and then a bread is baked, so it is with all the believers. who is the divine wheat here on this earth. All of us, we are joined with God in such a way that no one exists for himself anymore. But we are all make up the unity of the body of Christ until we can say, if one member is suffering, the whole body suffers. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read the mighty words which Paul spoke here, or what he wrote in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let us summarize briefly. The Lord is calling together the people of the new covenant for the last time, and all who hear his voice will hear and believe his words, receiving it, getting them revealed. And let us always emphasize it anew. Gather ye my people so that they hear my words. Let us say it once again. God has given us the grace to not remain in a revival, not to remain in the Pentecostal revival, but to go back to the beginning, to believe, as the scripture says, to receive and accept. And also this remains true forever. Whoever, whosoever has accepted here on earth what God has given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, through Calvary, through the holy divine blood which was shed for us, and we all know the life is in the blood. This I repeat time and again. I like to repeat it, especially at the Lord's Supper. As sure as the divine life was in the divine blood, so sure the divine eternal life is in the blood-bought flock. So sure our sins are forgiven, our guilt is blotted out, the letter of requirements is torn into pieces. And we may really thank our Lord and say, I'm also a sinner who found grace in the sight of God. God pardoned me because he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in salvation. He delighteth in it, and God delighteth over you and over me, because we received and accepted it. Therefore, our Lord said, there shall be joy in heaven when one sinner repents. There will be joy in heaven. May the Spirit of God be at work in an extraordinary way today, so that we are all established, that we are all strengthened, whatever God has given us, to have part in that, what He is doing right now. We owe God much thanks also today, and all who are joining us worldwide, may they all be blessed. Although the last portion is not transmitted online, wherever they are gathered, wherever they celebrate the Lord's Supper, as it is left to us in the Holy Scripture, and may all be blessed worldwide, and may all understand that the last portion we will not transmit, but we will have the Lord's Supper here for us, and also the foot washing. May the Lord bless us all and be with us all. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer now. In the meantime, the brothers will prepare the table and we will sing a song. Who says a chorus? Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.